This morning we wish to speak about the sin of favoritism. If you say, what does favoritism mean? It means playing favorites. And sometimes we people do that with our actions and our attitudes. So I'm going to start out with a question for you. Who has greater value? Does Warren Buffett, the billionaire, have greater value to you? Or does James the auto mechanic have greater value in your sight? If you say, what are these guys worth? Well, probably old Warren's worth about $50 billion net worth. And Joe, if he's lucky, if you count his shop and his tools and his home and his cars, he's probably worth $100,000. So who's worth more? Who's worth more in God's sight? Well, in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 1, we have the command against favoritism. Those addressed are my brethren, or my brethren, or yeah, my, or we'd say brothers. This translation uses the word brethren, my brethren. So he's talking to fellow Christians, and there's an imperative, a command. Do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. And there is, third, the unthinkable discrimination with an attitude of personal favoritism. Don't be a Christian and hold your faith with an attitude of personal favoritism. So let's go back through those points. First of all, those addressed, my brethren. He calls them my brethren, actually. In several different passages, chapter 1, verse 2, 2, verse 1, and verse 14, chapter 3, verses 1 and 10 and 12, and chapter 5, verses 12 and 19. So he uses that terminology a lot. He calls them my beloved brethren, my beloved brothers. He's talking to the people that he's writing to in verses chapter 1, 16 and 19, and also in chapter 2, verse 5. He calls them just plain brethren in chapter 4, verse 11, 5, 7, 9, and 10. So it's clear that James is writing to believers when he says this. So he's asking us believers not to do something. What's the imperative? What is the significance of Jesus' glory? That's our question that we want to ask ourselves, because he says don't hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. So what does it mean when it talks about he is his glory? Well, if we go back to the Old Testament, remember that when God led the people of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land, he appeared to them as a pillar of cloud by day in Exodus 13:21, and a pillar of fire by night, Exodus 13:21 also. When Moses went up on Mount Sinai and received the tablets of stone from God and brought them down, his face shone because he'd been in God's presence. This is just to give you an idea of the glory of God. And Jesus is the Lord of glory, and he's a glorious Lord. We're not supposed to have favoritism when we deal with other people. In Ezekiel 10, verse 4, it describes the glory of God between the cherubim. In Numbers 9:15, it describes the glory of God that hovered over the tabernacle. In 1 Kings 8, verses 10 and 11, they dedicated Solomon's temple. It says the glory of God filled that temple, and no priest, no human could get inside the temple. They all had to get out because of the glory that filled it. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, his whole being was transfigured. His clothes were gleaming white, and his face shone bright. And we get an idea of his glory there. And when John the Apostle saw a vision of the risen Lord, his face shone like the sun in all its glory. So there is an unthinkable discrimination My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. Don't do it. Jesus is a glorious Lord. He's the one who gets the glory and the credit. We shouldn't give that glory and credit to another person. We are all people made in His image, and we ought to live like that. Here's a literal rendering. My brothers, do not in partiality hold the faith of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the one of glory. So in the language that James used, glory is the last thing you think of in that particular statement. So why is this discrimination so unthinkable? Well, I think the answer, as I've already suggested, is that compared with our glorious Lord, no human being is glorious. We're all just people, flesh and blood, mortal. We're going to die. So compared with Him, none of us is glorious. So why should we elevate one person over another compared to Him? I think that's the idea that James is talking about here. So what does favoritism do? Favoritism, showing favoritism, actually gives glory that belongs to Jesus to a mere human being. So don't do that. You need to be respectful of people who are in authority over us, but we don't give them glory and we don't give them special treatment in the church. Now, James is going to give an illustration, example of favoritism in verses 2 to 4. So he describes, first of all, the characters. Now, we got old Warren Buffett up there, that billionaire. If a man comes into your assembly, your church group, with a gold ring, dressed in fine clothes, and there comes in another guy, a poor man in dirty clothes. We've got James the auto mechanic there. And the discrimination. And you say, pay a special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes, and you say, hey, sit here in a good seat. We've got a good place for you. But you say to the poor man, you stand there or sit down on my footstool here. We just don't give him as nice of a place. The verdict, James 2:4. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? So we need to be careful in our own worship service and in our treatment of other people that we don't treat one kind of person one way and another kind of person another way. Now, here's the conclusion. We are tempted to give special honor to someone for superficial reasons. That's what we're tempted to do. All of us are tempted to do that. It happens in school all the time. It happens out in public all the time. And sadly, sometimes it happens in churches. We treat people differently. We're tempted to honor people because of their wealth or because of their power. Sometimes we're tempted to honor them because of their celebrity status, because of the great skill that they might have, or because of their beauty, their personal good-looking qualities. And the Bible says this is wrong. This is wrong to do that. Now, let's get kind of personal here. If the following people walked into our church, would you give them a special seat? Now, about old Donald Trump, if he walked in here, would you give him a special seat? Or how about Tom Brady, quarterback for New England? Would you give him a special place here? Or how about this guy, Teddy Bridgewater? Would you give him a special seat? Or how about this guy, your own governor? Would you give him a special seat? How about this gal? Who is that? Queen Elizabeth. You have to have a certain number of years on you to be able to recognize who that is, because she doesn't look like that anymore. That's probably taken shortly after her coronation. That was back in the 50s. I was a small enough child, but I still remember when she got coronated. But would you give her a special seat? How about this guy? Old George. Would you give him a special place? How about this good-looking gal? Would you give her a special place here if she came? So who's more important in God's sight? Oprah? Or this gal? One is not more important than the other. One is not more important than the other. And we can't give people special status as Christians just because they're famous or they're wealthy or they have celebrity status. Conclusion, James 2, verse 5. When we value someone because of their celebrity status, we have become like a crooked judge with evil motives. That's what the Bible tells us. A crooked judge with evil motives. All right, verses 5 to 7. The senselessness of valuing favoritism. Let's look at the worth of the poor man. Verse 5. Listen, my beloved brothers. Did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith? And did he not choose them to be heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? God has chosen many poor people in this world to be heirs of the faith and heirs of his kingdom. I'd like to go to a little different passage of scripture, the book of 1 Corinthians, written by Paul, verses 26 to 29. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh who were called, he's going to say, not many mighty, not many noble. Verse 27, but God has chosen the weak, the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. Why? Verse 29 is very important. So that no one may boast before God. God will have no braggarts in heaven. He will have no braggarts in heaven. One of our favorite verses is Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God despises braggarts. It's kind of like you and I, if we trained a colony of ants to do some tricks, and these ants started gloating about how cool they really were, and we used to look at, you stupid ants, I could crush you with my heel if I wanted to. Don't get proud on me. And that's the way God must feel about us sometimes. You human beings, I'm the one with the intelligence. You aren't. If you're good looking, it's because I made you that way. Why do you get so proud of how great you are? Because I'm the one who made you. Well, so that no man may boast before God. Back to Queen Elizabeth. Once she told about being grateful for the letter M. Someone said, well, what do you mean by that? She says, well, she quoted this passage, for consider your calling, brethren, that there are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. And she said, I'm grateful for the word M, because if there were no M there, it would say not any noble. So she was grateful that God had the letter M in there, because some people of noble birth get chosen, and she considered herself one of God's chosen. Pretty interesting. Well, their disgrace of the poor man. But you have dishonored the poor man. In the latter part of verse 6, James raises this question. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you've been called? So why do you get so taken up with these rich people? Why do you give them a special break when they come to visit you? They're the kind of people that take advantage of you. In verses 8 to 13, We'll read the scriptures and favoritism. First of all, it talks about the kingly law, which is good. James 2:8 quotes Leviticus 9, verse 18. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to read verse 2, chapter 2, verse 8. If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. So you treat other people the way you yourself would like to be treated. Next, favoritism. If you indulge in favoritism, the Bible says you are transgressing the law. You're transgressing the law. James 2:9 reads this way, if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Here's the thing. If you break one part of the law, you are guilty of the whole law. Verses 10 and 11. James 2:10. Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. Verse 11. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you become a transgressor of the law. If you break one part of the law, you break the whole thing. In verses 12 and 13, James writes that we ought to anticipate evaluation. The way we treat other people is going to affect how we get treated by God. Behave as those who will be judged by a law that brings freedom. James 2:12 says this, so speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. We're to be judged by that. So we need to treat other people fairly and honestly and not give celebrities a special status. The law that he speaks of is the new covenant. The new covenant softens my heart and makes me want to obey by the power of the Holy Spirit. That new covenant was first given to the nation of Israel. They have not yet, for the most part, taken advantage of that new covenant. It's there in Jeremiah 31. It's one of the most fascinating passages of Scripture. But a few Jewish people have bought into the new covenant and made Jesus their Messiah and their King. And part of the new covenant is that you're given a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. And you want to know God and you want to obey Him. So live as part of the new covenant. And judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Verse 13 says, judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. And then he said, mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. All right, here is the big idea of this message. It is wrong to treat someone special just because he or she is a celebrity. And the only celebrity really worth treating special is Jesus, who gives light to the world. So don't fawn over people who are celebrities. Don't treat poor people more poorly than you treat them. The only one worthy of celebrity status is Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we ask that you'll help us not to practice favoritism. It's pretty easy to do that. We kind of give certain people a pass and reverence and awe because they're wealthy or they're famous or they're popular. They have a lot of power. Let us not do that. Help us to be equally kind and compassionate to all, because one day we will be judged ourselves, and we want to be judged fairly. Bless us each and help us to live our lives in fairness, giving celebrity status to Jesus, who alone is worthy of it. It's in His name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you're dismissed.